On Facebook yesterday, I saw a note by a fellow preacher. And he asked the question of all preachers if something similar had happened to us, that had happened to him. He said he preached a sermon this past Sunday directly to someone in the audience. Directly to them, without calling their name, but just talking about the circumstance and the situation and what the Bible had to say about it. Well, he got done. The fellow he was preaching to comes up and shakes his hand. "Great preaching, sir. Great preaching, preacher. Great job. There are a lot of people who need to hear that lesson." And walked on out the door. Then there was another fellow who came up to him, grabbed him by the hand, took it and gripped it real tight, and said, "How dare you preach to me like that?" He had no idea that he was having a similar problem. Then he walked out mad. Isn't it amazing how you can present what the Bible has to say and you're going to touch somebody. You're going to hit somebody, whether you intend to or not. And that's just the way it is. But sometimes those in the audience, and for those who are preaching, by the way, have the same problem. We fail to apply the lessons to ourselves as we should. Examining ourselves is extremely challenging. And there are several reasons for that. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We need to recognize the need, and we need to think about the necessary qualities that one must possess in order to correctly analyze himself. And then we need to accept the responsibility to make the changes that we need to make. And we need to be growing in Christ. And we cannot grow in Christ if we do not evaluate ourselves on a regular basis. I want you to think about that statement. We cannot grow in Christ if we do not evaluate ourselves on a regular basis. So those are the things we're going to be looking at this morning. Good to see everyone here. And thank you very much. We have visitors. We especially want to thank you for being here. It's a joy and an honor and a privilege always to be here and worship and to study together from the Word of God, to sing praises. And it even makes it more enjoyable to know that there are people who have come who are interested in those things as well. And we certainly build one another up and encourage ourselves. President Theodore Roosevelt said, "If you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble, you wouldn't sit for a month." You know, that is so true. But I also realize that I'm not responsible for all of the trouble that I might find myself in, nor you. Sometimes things just happen around us. There are circumstances and situations in life that I have no control over whatsoever. Things that happen. But I am always responsible for how I respond to those circumstances. I am always responsible for how I behave. And so I need to examine myself and do that constantly from a spiritual perspective, from God's perspective. What does God think about this deed? What does God think about these words that I speak? What does God think about the thoughts that I think? In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." We need to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. And we ought to know, and we can know, if Jesus truly does reside in us or not. We can know. And of course, if we look at ourselves and we see that Jesus is not dwelling in us, and I'm going to explain what I mean by that phrase in just a moment. But if I look at myself and realize that Jesus is not dwelling in me as he ought to be, then I need to realize I'm not where I ought to be in my spiritual life. And I need to make some changes. Now, the idea of Christ dwelling in us is the fact that He, through His revelation, through His Word, is guiding and governing my life. And if He's not guiding and governing my life through His revelation, through His Word, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So I need to take evaluation in that and make some changes if necessary. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 27 through 29, in regard to the Lord's Supper, Paul, writing to the Corinthians who were perverting the Lord's Supper, they were filled with sectarianism, with carnality. And he says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I need to examine myself. My job is not to examine you. My job is to examine me. So the Bible has some interesting things to say about the need to examine ourselves. Benjamin Franklin said, there are three things extremely hard: steel, a diamond, and to know oneself. This is a difficult challenge. Josh Billings said, it's not only the most difficult thing to know oneself, but the most inconvenient. And I think that is a big hindrance for us, that it is an inconvenience to be honest with myself. Because if I'm really honest with myself, I'm going to see some things that aren't very flattering, that aren't very encouraging. But I need to honestly examine myself. And as our text in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether ye be in the faith. I need to know if I'm right with God or not. That's the most important relationship and aspect of my life. Am I right with God? Now, I need to be honest about this. I need to be honest with myself. I need to be honest with God. I need to be honest with God's Word. I need to be honest with myself and examine myself so I can progress, so that I can grow spiritually. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, Paul says, now that not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press. Now listen, I can't reach for that goal. I can't press for that goal unless I constantly examine myself and see where I need to make improvements in my life. I need to, as Paul says over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, I need to make sure that I am doing my part. He says in verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body. Am I doing my share? Well, I need to ask that question personally. Am I doing what I need to do? I need to be honest about that so that I can progress and those around me can progress. For my relationships, I need to be honest with myself. And so often we fail. We're going to get back to some of these points in just a moment. But I also want you to understand the importance of being honest with yourself and examining yourself so that you can help others. This past week on the radio program, we talked quite a bit about Judge Piazza's ruling on same-sex marriage and the idea or the concept of judging others. Every sinner in this world knows by heart, verbatim, Matthew 7 and verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Judge not. Every sinner knows that verse, don't they? What does the rest of the passage say? We are not to judge or be condemning of others. But what judgment we use, we need to realize that's going to come back on us. And the standard that we use needs to be the right standard. And if I have a beam in my eye, how am I going to effectively help someone who has a speck in theirs? Well, I can't. The whole point that Jesus is making in this context, first and foremost, is do not judge hypocritically. Take care of yourself. Remove the beam out of your eye so that you can see clearly how to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. You take care of yourself so that you can help others. It's not a matter of condemning them. God has not appointed me judge and jury. God is judge and jury. Now, God does expect me to help others with their problems, with their sin problems, and for me to help them overcome them. So there must be discernment. There must be judging in that sense taking place. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul there says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted." So I need to take care of myself and watch for myself so that I can help others with an attitude of humility, with gentleness, and realize that, you know what, I could be just as easily the one that's in the wrong. I need to constantly examine myself. Now, what are some qualities that I must have if I'm going to examine myself? Well, number one, I must respect God. I must fear God above all else. I must have high esteem and regard for Him and for His Word. I must stand in awe of Him. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have already obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling." I need to respect God and His law. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 18. I need to have this awe of my Creator, the one who made me and all that is. And I must respect His word, His judgments, and serve Him. I must worship Him and reverence Him with godly fear. Revelations 12 and verse 28. We live in a day where people approach God with such a lackadaisical manner that what does God really think about that? People look at God more as their buddy than they do as their Creator and as God. We need to approach Him with reverence and godly fear. So I need to have a godly fear, an awe of my Creator. Faith. "It's impossible to please Him without faith, for whosoever cometh to God must believe that He is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Hebrews 11 verse 6. I must have faith in my God. I must trust Him above all else. If I am going to properly evaluate myself, I must have a trust, a faith in God that whatever He says is true. And if I am contradicting what He says, then I am wrong. Romans chapter 3, "Let God be true and every man a lie." In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, Solomon writes this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Trust in the Lord. Whatever He says is the truth. Humility. I must be humble. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. The Beatitudes begins with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." The poor in spirit, the humble, there's the beginning place of a person who God can work with. If a person is not humble in his spirit, God can't work with him. That person's not going to submit to what God says in some way, in some area of his life. We must be humble. And in verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." We see sin as it really is. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The meek are those who allow God to work on them. They humble themselves before God and follow His guidance. Humility. Must have humility. David in Psalm 51 expressed this attitude after he had come to a knowledge and understanding of his sin. He saw himself as he was, and he recognized his sin before God. And he begged, he pleaded for forgiveness and for restoration. God, what does God demand? He demands a humble and contrite heart. Meekness. "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." If a person is not meek, that is the quality or characteristic that extends from humility, that allows God to work, instruct, to guide, to reprove and correct. If I'm not meek, then I am not going to properly examine myself. Honesty, integrity, sincerity. You know, the Apostle Paul had this quality. He was sincere in all that he had done in serving God according to the law of Moses. He persecuted Jews. He voted to have them put to death. He traveled from city to city trying to have them thrown into prison. He did all this because he thought he was serving God. But when the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he came to realize he was wrong. And that sincerity continued with him, because when he realized he was wrong, he changed. Let me say to you, my friend, that we can be honest and we can be sincere. And there's going to come a day and a point in which we meet up with a truth about ourselves that isn't good. So will we continue to be honest and sincere, or will we become that day dishonest? There's the question. Paul continued to be honest. He continued to be sincere. But I need to be honest. I need to examine myself in the light of what God says. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. The church at Laodicea, they were called to the carpet for their lukewarmness. Would they be sincere? Would they be honest with themselves? How did they see themselves? They saw themselves as rich, as in need of nothing. But God said they were poor. God said they were blind. They were spiritually blind. We need to be honest with ourselves. Acts 17 verses 11 and 12. The Bereans searched the scriptures daily. Well, it says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They searched the scriptures daily in order to see whether those things that they were taught were so. Let that attitude always be ours. Let us honestly examine ourselves in the light of what God says. And diligence. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The King James Version uses the word study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. The New King James uses the word diligence. Diligence is the right idea. Diligence. We need to give all diligence to show ourselves approved before God. It takes effort. It takes sometimes hard, agonizing work to get to the root cause of our issues or our problems or our hindrances, our sin. So diligence. The challenge of self-examination If we are guilty of having a flippant attitude towards God, if we don't really trust His Word, if we're not really humble in ways we're proud, if we're not willing to allow God to direct us and lead us, if we're dishonest, and if we're lazy, we're not going to be successful examining ourselves. Isn't that true? So, okay, I'm going to have all those qualities, and I'm examining myself. All right. All of us develop habits as we go through life. You know, we do things, and we do them over and over again, and that becomes a habit. You know, our thoughts become our words become our actions become our habits, and our habits become our destiny. So it takes self-discipline to make changes in our life. Okay, we see the problem, we know that it's there, but it still takes self-discipline. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul talks about his dealing with himself. And notice in verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." That word temperate means self-control. "Temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Self-control. Self-discipline. I discipline myself. And my friend, listen, that's where it ultimately is going to get to, whether I have the self-discipline to do what I need to do or not. Because other people cannot make you do what you do not want to do. Preachers can preach, elders can do what they do and lead the flock, and I tell you what, teachers can teach you. You may even have parents that literally force you to do things that you don't want to do. But until the will gets turned around and you want to do what you want to do, all of that effort by others will be ineffective for you. Like a little boy who was told to go sit in the corner because of something he had done. He goes over there, huffs and puffs, and he sits down. And he screams out to his mother, says, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but on the inside I'm still standing up." And a lot of people are like that. And we can talk to them, we can try to encourage them, but until they want to change, they're not going to. Self-discipline. Prayer. I need to pray. I need to pray for help. I need to pray for strength. I am not to cease. I'm to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And it's interesting that the spiritual armor that God gives to His children in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 beginning, look at the last thing there, pray. Pray. I need to pray. That's my communication with God. And I need help. I need to pray to God. Worship. I need to be spending as much time as I can in worship of my Creator. I need to be in fellowship with Him so that I can worship Him acceptably. But I need to continue to worship Him, and then He will help me. But I need to worship Him. I need to worship in spirit and in truth. Bible study. I need to read my Bible. I need to read my Bible on a regular basis. I'm not talking about just read it either. I'm not talking about just going through and picking out some key verses that you want to use to guide your life, verses to share for the day on Facebook. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about study the Bible. I'm talking about getting the big picture and getting an understanding of what God wants from me. As I study, I will come to a greater understanding of that. I need to be, as the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 1, I need to long for, I need to strive, I need to hunger for the Word of God. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now that's the attitude that I must have towards God's word. I need to study to show myself approved unto God. That is, give diligence, 2 Timothy 2:15. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Listen, I need to study God's word so I know what he wants me to do. And it is completely, it is completely there for my complete guidance in life. I don't need anything else. I've got God's word to guide me. And I need to look into the word of God as a mirror to my soul. James 1:22-25. The perfect law of liberty. I need to look into it and allow it to guide me. And then I need to evaluate and exercise the abilities that I do have, the talents that I have. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, you have the parable of the talents. You had three men there. Two were given more talents than the third, but they were all given talents. The third man, who received only one talent, went out and buried his talent in the dirt, in the sand. And when the Lord came to hold them accountable for what they've done and to receive the interest, the fellow brought back his one talent. The Lord called him an unfaithful servant, wicked, slothful servant. The whole point of that parable is that each of us have duties and responsibilities in this world. And we are going to fulfill those, or we're not. The ability that we have, presented with the opportunities to act, equal the responsibility now that we have to those things and to our Lord. I have now a responsibility. I'm going to be held accountable for how I use what God has blessed me with. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. There are various parts of the body, the church, and we all are important. And we are to all do what we can do in the body of Christ. But that begins with our self-evaluation. I need to look at myself. What can I do? What can I do in service to my God? And then I need to do that. And I need to do it to the best of my ability. I need to always strive to improve myself, so that each one of us can add to the body that which is needed for the growth of the body. So, how do we apply these principles? How do we apply these things? I want to look at three things with you quickly as we close the lesson. Three things. My relationship with God, the most important relationship that I have. I need first and foremost to use the right standard to determine my standing with God. Listen, it's not how I feel about it, is it? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. I need to look at the right standard. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, the Apostle Paul there talks about how those who are children of God, they are those who are led by the Spirit. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And a lot of people look at those verses and they say, see, there's some inward, there's some undeniable feeling or expression that comes up from inside of us that lets us know. No, that's not what that verse is talking about. The Holy Spirit does bear witness with our spirit, and the Holy Spirit does lead us. But how does He do that? Because it's amazing to me, there are people from all different denominational groups who say the Holy Spirit, Mormons for example, have the same claim. The Holy Spirit said in this undeniable expression that's come up from inside me. In fact, I even spoke in tongues as I read over the Book of Mormon. I had a young man tell me that over in the office one day. They have a feeling just as strong as the Catholic mind or any other religious group. The feeling that's strong, that they can't be wrong. That's what their standard is. Notice, the Holy Spirit does bear witness. He does lead us, but how does He do that? Jesus again said in John 6 and verse 67, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." The Holy Spirit revealed the Word. The Word is life. And the Holy Spirit has the revelation right there in front of us, and to be led by the Spirit is to be led by His revelation. And for the Spirit to bear witness with our spirit, just like James chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, when we look into that perfect law of liberty, we see ourselves as we really are. And if we are doing the things that God has revealed in His Word, then we have a witness. Our conscience bears witness that we are doing what God says, and the Holy Scripture bears witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness that we have done what has been revealed. So you've got the right standard. James 1, 21 through 27. Look into the Word of God. Be not hearers of the Word, but doers only. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we emphasized the idea of diligence a while ago, but diligence to do what? To show yourself approved unto God. How? By rightly dividing the Word of truth, or handling it aright. So the right standard. Okay, have I obeyed the gospel that's been revealed in the Word of God? Have I submitted to the teaching of Jesus Christ? Jesus sends His disciples out to go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 17. Confession is made unto salvation. And those who believe from the heart will be saved. How? When? Well, he goes on, he talks about there in verse 14, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verses 13 and 14. How can they hear without a preacher? Well, when they hear, they must do something. They must respond. They must believe. And now when they believe, they must do yet something else. They must call. How do they call? They obey the gospel. Verse 16. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Do we believe the Word of God? Have we obeyed the Word of God? What about our attitude? Have we the mind of Christ? Philippians 2:5. Have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, and keeping God's commandments. For they are not burdensome. You know, we were talking in Bible class this morning about the law. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 1 through 3. This is how we know that we love God, if we keep His commandments. For His commandments are not burdens. The reason why people have a hard time obeying God, again, it goes back to the fact they don't want to. Examine your relationships with others. Self-centeredness must be replaced with humility and love for others. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, this unity that the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. You have the truth that is revealed, verses 4 through 6, the seven ones. But prior to that, he talks about the attitude that we must have. The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We're told to endeavor to obtain that. Well, how? With humility. With love. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the same points are being made. Humility and love. We must love one another. We must submit ourselves to one another. And being a positive influence rather than causing them another to stumble, we need to think about the influence that we put out to others. I need to examine my relationship with them. Am I acting in a way that would lead them away from God or towards God? My influence, is it positive or is it negative? Are we shining as lights in this old dark world, or are we too much like the world that people around us can't really tell the difference? So many have compromised so much with the world, people can't tell who the Christians are and who they're not. In fact, there are those who are out in the world who are ungodly, who are outdoing those who claim to be Christians in acts of good deeds and charity and those kinds of things. Of course, we understand that the idea of charity, we can give as much as we want to give, but if we don't love God, if we're not following God, it's all for naught. But my influence on others is an important aspect of my life, and I need to take that into account. As a spouse and a parent, you know, it's hard sometimes to see yourself as you really are, as a spouse. When something goes wrong, whose fault is it? Too often we point the finger at someone else instead of looking honestly at ourselves. And we need to take the time to do that. We can put the blame on our spouse. We can put the blame on others. We need to accept responsibility for our own failures. I know that. I've seen that in myself. I need to take responsibility for those. We all need to do that. And with our children, my relationship with them, I need to examine myself. And I also then need to work on my relationship with my children. You as parents do as well. We need to take this into serious consideration. Wives, husbands, emulate Jesus. Follow the teaching of Scripture. That is, and now Dr. Field can say all that he wants to about not spanking children or what have you. I trust the Lord, and I believe that the Lord knows what he's talking about when he says, "He that spares the rod hateth his son." But when you use the rod, it must be out of love, or a child knows. We need to always think seriously about our relationship and examine ourselves with the church. Listen, what about my attendance? What about my attendance? Am I attending as I should? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. But of course, that's all for the purpose of edifying one another, to encourage one another. Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Your support of the church and its work. How much do we give to support the work of the church? Yeah, I'm talking about money. How much of that money that we earn each week do we give back to the Lord? Well, that's up to us. The Lord says, let each one give as he's prospered. But I need to give. I need to sacrifice. I need to support the work of the church. And I tell you what, we're going to give to what's most important to us. Your participation in the worship and work of the church. Okay, I've given my money. That's enough, isn't it? No. I need to give myself. I need to give my time. I need to give my effort. I need to provide my talents and let them be used for the glory of God in the church, in the worship services, or whatever else I can do. If I can sing, I need to sing. If I can lead singing, I need to lead singing. I need to do what I can do. I need to provide my talents, my abilities, to help the church accomplish what it needs to accomplish to the glory of God. Will we all examine ourselves? What about our motives? Am I motivated by love for God and faith in Him? What about my attitude? Am I a person who's humble and meek? Or what about my thoughts? Are my thoughts holy and just? Now, I understand that sometimes thoughts may pop into our heads. As Martin Luther once said, "We can't keep birds from flying over our heads, but we can keep them from building nests in our hair." And that's true. I may have a thought come through, but I'm asking you, what do you think on? There's a difference. Behavior. It's what we do approved by God? What about our influence? Our service? Are we obedient to God? And are we zealous in His service? Let us all be honest with ourselves. And let us say with the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." James says, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Will we honestly take a look into that mirror of God's Word and honestly apply that to our lives? I hope that you recognize the need. I hope that you continue to recognize that need, to examine yourself, not others, but ourselves. Are we willing to have the necessary qualities? You know, we can change. We decide whether we're going to be humble and submissive or not. We decide whether we're going to love God and respect Him or not. We determine what we value in this life. We make that determination. Are you in Christ? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? And are you growing in Christ? Again, growth demands that we examine ourselves. Maybe you're here this morning and you see your need. We ask you, look into your soul. Examine your heart. And if you're not right with God, if there's something amiss in your life, determine to change it now. If you're not a Christian, determine right now to change that. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and by faith be buried with Him in baptism and be raised to walk in newness of life. If you're a child of God and you're not serving Him in either your relationships with your relationship with God or with the church or with your family and with others around you, make corrections in your life. Whatever that may be, please, won't you do so as the others stand and sing.